Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're with you once again. Today is Tuesday, January 23rd. I'm back in the studio after a long weekend, actually. Still trying to get everything organized. And today I'm joined by a new lady in the studio. This is your first time here.
Yes,
and her name is Ashley. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, you get to ride a shotgun today. You know what that means?
In the front seat.
But the passenger seat.
Passenger, yes.
I always wondered where that came from, and then somebody told me, get closer to the mic or pull it towards you a little bit, okay? So you can be closer to it. Say something.
Something.
There you go. See? That's how it needs to be. But at any rate, I guess back in the Wild West, they used to ride the wagons. So the driver would sit there, and then there's a guy next to him with a shotgun.
Ah, that makes sense.
So there you go.
That's funny. I never knew that.
Yeah, no, you do, you see.
Well,
welcome
new.
To the show, Ashley.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And so we also have a cool guest in the studio. We'll bring her on in just a moment. So it's a full show today. And we're going to pick on you today a little, Ashley. We'll ask you a little bit about yourself. That's why I didn't talk to you that much before the show. Because if I know the answers, then I don't ask the questions anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes guests will come on. They go, why is he so rude? He's not saying anything. Well, I don't know that they're thinking that. But I'm just, you know, so I tell them, you know, I'm focusing on the show. I don't want to ask you anything because if I know the answer, I'm not going to ask again. So then it'll be like half-ass interview, you know.
All right, so, bring it on.
Okay, bring it on. Okay, so tell us a little bit. You told me you're not an original Angeleno. You moved from the East Coast.
Yes, I did.
Right? And where was that?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. Are you into football? Do you follow the Ravens at all?
I don't follow the Ravens. Actually, yeah. The old Ravens training camp was about 5 minutes from where my parents live.
Really?
And that ended up being where the school, the college that I went to, ended up turning that into part of their campus.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow. That's pretty cool. So, well, we didn't have football teams here for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have two, you know. But when the Rams used to be in L.A., that was a cool time. And also we had the Oakland Raiders move to L.A. back in the 80s. So I was way into football then. Now I can't even sit down for 5 minutes and watch. I don't know. I have no patience, you know. But it's fun, you know. So, but I know some wild Ravens fans. I mean, these fans are like...
They can be crazy.
Yeah, they're
just
hardcore
like any sports
fans. Yeah, you know. I know. So so you grew up in Baltimore. Football didn't interest you. Do you have any siblings?
No, I'm an only child, actually.
Oh, you're an only child.
Yep, so
what's
I got
that like? Yeah, you got all the attention, huh?
Yeah, I did. Whenever I would go on trips, of course, I would kind of wish that I had a sibling or someone to hang out with other than just my parents. But I still, I got a lot of attention, and maybe that's a part of the reason why I wanted to go into entertainment, because I wanted the attention of people that I couldn't get otherwise.
Yeah, it's like all the celebrities, all the people in entertainment, love me, please, daddy, love me, you know? It's like, come on, people, you know? I mean, but no, that's true, though, and I would imagine as an only child, you probably mature fast, right? You grow up fast because you're around adults all the time.
It's really interesting because everyone in my family is pretty much older than me. My cousins are about 15 years older than me. And so I was the baby of the family. And so I grew up just being surrounded by a bunch of older people. And I ended up gravitating towards older people just out in the world.
Right.
Like, even when I would go to...
Because you couldn't really relate to the younger people, right?
Right.
Like, you seem too immature for you.
Yeah, like, even when I was in elementary school, I enjoyed hanging out with my teachers more than my fellow students. And my mom tells me this story from when I was really little, like 3 or 4 years old. We're walking in the mall, and this kid my own size comes up to me and starts talking to me, and I freaked out. And I was just like, Mommy.
Oh my God. Well, you didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. And so, like, even to this day, like, I just always get along with people that are older than myself. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it was pretty much, I like to say that I was a 40 or 50 year old in a young person's body.
They call that an old soul.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you've been around the block a few times over the millennia, let's say, right? Over the, I know, I feel like that too. It's like, I need to rest now, you know? I've lived many lives, you know? It's, you know, that's as far as I can go. I'm tired.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But, no, I love being alive and everything. There's no doubt about it. I wasn't always like that, you know? I used to suffer from depression and stuff. So now that I'm able to live like a normal person, I love every moment, you know? And I lost my dad a couple weeks ago. And that's why the beard, by the way. And and, you know, he had Parkinson's and everything. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, as he got sick and stuff, he told me, he says, you know, I lived a full life. You know, every day now is a bonus. And that's the way he lived his life, you know. So that was a good lesson to learn from him. And...
My grandfather lived to be 98, and he died, actually, it's coming up on the anniversary of his death. And, yeah, my grandmother passed away a couple years before him, but he, you know, he was playing tennis until he was in his late 80s.
Wow.
And he would do crossword puzzles, and he just always kept his mind going, always trying to...
That's the thing. You got to stay busy all the time, whether it's your mind, your body, or both.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, you know. So, and for those of you who were asking about the beard, I got a few emails and stuff that I guess people didn't hear the show last week. But for those few of you under the rock who don't know, I am Jewish. And in Jewish tradition, if one of your parents dies and you're a man, you don't shave for 30 days and don't cut your hair. So I think the meaning of this is, you know, everybody's got their own point of view of, like, why and all this. But the way I see it is, well, it's so you don't groom yourself, you know. Like, it's not a time to celebrate and look good, blah, 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 I think.
Right.
But to me, it signals something else. It's, first of all, when you're among people that know this tradition, then they right away know, oh, you lost a parent or something, because they see you suddenly growing this wild beard, you know, no trim, no nothing. It's just out there. But also I feel he's with me all the time, you know. And then when people also say something about the beard, I'm like, well, it's not out of vanity. You know, I lost my dad, blah, blah, blah. So
it's a nice,
like,
reminder.
Yeah, so I'm still, it reminds me I'm still in mourning, you know. So that's it. But I do acknowledge the fact I look 98 years old.
Oh, please.
But
maybe 95.
Yeah, right? But no, I'm getting to that territory where a white beard does not make me look any younger. So we'll retreat back to the old ways in about 10 days. So I only have about 10 days left. And but it's so weird having a beard, you know. I mean, it's prickly, it's itchy. I don't know, man. I don't know about people that like beards for their entire lives, you know.
I wouldn't want to kiss anyone with a beard,
right?
To be honest. Well, and especially like when someone has like the stubble, though,
right?
And then it just kind of leaves a rash on your
face, it leaves a rash
on your chin area.
I know, I have a cousin like that. He never, you know, he always has a stubble, and I'm like, don't come kiss me, man. I mean, just like, you know, a hug is good enough, you know? Because in the family, we kiss on the cheek and stuff, you know? But I told him, I said, no, you know, I don't want to feel your cheek on mine, man. And, you know, and so imagine on a woman's soft skin how it would feel, you know?
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
But some women love it. Some women love the stubble. They like the look, which I think the look is great.
Yeah, exactly.
But practically, like, it's not a practical
thing. It's not a practical thing, yeah. But you'd be amazed some women like that. They like that like, prickliness
give it to me
and
rough
stinginess.
On my face.
Exactly. Like, like let me rub some sandpaper on my face.
Well, exfoliation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, in a couple of minutes, we'll bring on our guest. Just a couple things real quick that I wanted to bring up. I guess people ask me why I don't like to go to Mexico for vacation, right? People go to Baja, go to Cancun, go to Acapulco, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you why. Last year, there were 25,339 homicides. Okay, so 25,000 plus homicides in Mexico, a 23% jump from 2016. So, and the highest number since at least 1997. So when the government started tracking the data. So what I'm telling you is this. There's nothing for me to do in Mexico. Absolutely nothing. I don't know anybody there. And everything they have, I can find somewhere else in America nicer. Okay? Like Baja is nice. Hey, I got Hawaii. You know? Cancun is nice. Hey, I got Miami, you know? I got the Keys. I got this. I got that. No, you're not going to convince me to go there. I have absolutely no business going there. I'm not interested. I don't care if it's drug-related or everything. That's a lot of crime.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of crime, you know?
Yeah.
And people just... I'll bet you many of these people are just like accidental... victims or something, you know? That,
quite possibly.
Yeah, you know.
It's usually how it is.
Yeah, like a stray bullet or something, or people mistake you for the wrong person, or you belong to a family of someone that committed something against the mafia, you know?
Yeah. I still want to go to Mexico,
do
though.
You?
I haven't
well,
been.
Well, go, yeah. What the hell, you know? The most could happen, you'd be a statistic, you know?
The most that could happen is I'm dead.
Yeah, exactly. And then... well, let's leave this one out for when we talk to our guest, because this is like a deep thing. You know Larry Nassar, I guess the doctor for the Olympic teams for many years, who's been accused of sexual abuse and stuff now.
Oh,
I wanted
yeah.
to talk about that a little bit, but it's a deep thing. So maybe if we have time, we'll get into it. Now we're going to bring in our host right now. So, Ashley, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I'm promising you a great ride today.
Yay.
And since when I'm the pilot, the flight is great.
No turbulence.
This morning we're joined by a new host at the station. You started on last Friday, Melina Jackson. Welcome to the show, Melina.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
You started hosting the show Family Planet 365. Which sounds promising, obviously, about family and things like that. So we'll talk a little bit about the show. So what's the show about?
All right, so Family Planet 365. Hi, Sam. I'm so happy to be here because you may or may not know, I've been following LA Talk Radio on Instagram for probably a little over a year now.
Really? There's nothing to see on Instagram for us.
You're doing a great job. It's nice. It's just because I knew this would be my home. Eventually, I just wanted to make the commitment because my passion is families. And one of the reasons that is because I feel like when a child is brought up in, I know no family is perfect, but when we can get as close to stable as possible, then we affect children. We affect the next generation. So I knew early on in life that my mission was to empower and uplift families. And that's exactly what Family Planet 365 does. We bring on resources. We talk about, you know, different topics that families or parents know that they're not alone.
Oh.
Because a lot of times when you talk about depression, I like that you're so open about that because a lot of moms are depressed. And, you know, especially with postpartum depression, because it's like, you know, you give so much. Children literally just come into your life and just take everything.
Yeah, right.
Emotionally, physically, mentally. And so it's nice to know that you have a tribe, if you will. You have a community that says, hey, I get it too. I understand. This parenting thing is not easy. That's why I'm like, I'm taken aback when I see women, you know, just rush and have babies. Like, take your time.
And on their own too, right?
Another story.
That's another story, right?
Oh, my gosh. You cannot do it alone, ladies. Like, it's glamorized in America today. Like, oh, I don't need the dad. I just want the baby. oh my gosh.
You're
Sam.
Right. It is kind of glamorous.
Yes.
I didn't really think
like,
of
just
it that
have
way,
the baby. Like, we don't need the man.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah. But then you see a lot of problems with the kids
yes.
growing up, you know, because you need the balance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
oh,
need
yeah.
the balance.
You need the balance.
Yeah. And yeah, and that's obviously a deep political thing. We don't necessarily have to go there, but there's so much politics. In the, yeah, yeah, I mean, I you know.
Feminism, but, here we are, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, but we're going to talk about the more, I think, the more pressing things that, that really are, that matter, you know. Mm-hmm. So how did you, I mean, you said you felt it was your mission. What made you feel that way? At what point in your life did you suddenly realize, wow, you know, this is something I need to do?
When I was 9 years old.
Nine?
Oh, wow. 9 years wow. old, Sam. Like, I came from the background. I always knew I wanted to be in the spotlight. Like, I love to talk. So I would do plays and did a lot of acting. And then as I got older, I always noticed, like, I would be the 9-year-old playing with the kindergarten kid in the neighborhood. Uh-huh. Because it was like, they need me to lead them. You know, I guess it was kind of a mix of being bossy and knowing that they wouldn't talk
so
back.
You're like the opposite of me, because you like to tell people what's going on and inform them. And
yeah.
I'm like, tell me, please. Like,
okay, well, I'm the person in the tunnel with the flashlight. So come with me. And I knew I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I knew that I like to serve. So my maiden name is Butler. And I tell my children that all the time. I'm like, why do I like to serve so much? And it's really like the younger kids. And I wouldn't say, oh, I love kids, because I don't. It's just that I'm really invested in their well-being.
Right.
And I knew that at an early age. My mom, I would go outside, and my mom would be looking for me. And she's like, where have you been? I was like, oh, I was playing school with Adam. She's like, he's in kindergarten. And as I got older, I did go into the news industry and started reporting, being a general assignment reporter for television and print. And I would always end up at the school board meetings. And then from the school board meetings, I would end up at the schools talking to the students. So it's just organic. You just kind of just pay attention to where that passion lies.
Right.
And then, of course, I became a mom.
Yeah.
And here we have it. I was like, you know what? I noticed it was so hard to travel with young children because my family's in Alabama. And I'm the type, we had our children like quickly. My husband and I, my daughter was born. 3 months later, I was pregnant with my son. So they're 13 months apart. So here I am with, you know, 2 children under 2. We're traveling from the East Coast to Alabama. And I'm like, you know, we need to talk to these hotels and we need to talk to TSA and inform them, like, here's how people with children should travel. So I became a consultant.
Oh,
for,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's true, because nobody ever thinks about that.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, if there was one time, Sam, where we traveled from New Jersey to Alabama and both booster seats were just lost.
Wow.
We got to our destination. They were like, oh, yeah, sorry, it's not here. Like, are you serious right
yeah,
now? Like,
what are we
really?
Gonna do?
They don't care.
Yeah. Wow. So everything, a long story short, just it's life experiences garnered from childhood. Like, I knew there was something about the younger generation that really attracted me. I was a camp counselor when I was a mass communications major in college. And my professor was like, Melina, why aren't you interning at the local station? You're at the YMCA as a camp counselor. I'm like, I don't know. That's just where my heart leads.
Yeah,
and so here I am, you know, putting on the preschool fairs. I started the Nanny Factory, which is a nanny agency, which is now going into a child care app. Because, again, I'm all about parents not having to just leave their children with whomever, because I get that we have to work.
Right.
And that's something that I talked on the show last week. You know, first thing as a parent, when you have something, the first thing you think, who's going to keep the kids? And especially today, not a lot of parents are living next door to their mom and dad.
Right.
So it's going to be strangers.
So you
They're
need
gonna
some
be,
help. Yeah.
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 So I'm really just, you know.
And
whatever
that's the thing, and we had, I remember some time ago now, we had a nanny here, and she was saying how, or a nanny consultant, whatever, mm-hmm. like you do, and she was saying, you know, to be a nanny, you don't have to be like a stranger or even a woman, right? I mean, you know, anybody who takes care of someone or of kids is a nanny, right?
Correct.
So they all need to know this stuff. It's not just, you know, anybody that cares for kids needs to understand this stuff. It's not just like, oh, let's leave that for the nanny.
That's correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. How many kids do you have?
I have 4.
Wow, really?
Four babies. Oh, well, my youngest is 7 now, and my oldest is 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a nice range there, yeah. But you got your hands full too,
I do,
right?
Yeah.
They all require a lot of attention.
Oh my gosh, they just take. That's it. So there's
that just sounds like my nightmare. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I don't like children. I was saying earlier that I never liked being around kids, even when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, when I have family that has young children, I'm going to be nice to them.
Yeah.
But I can't relate to them. People say, oh, well, if you ever have your own kids, then it's going to be different. And I think I have this incredible fear of even getting pregnant.
Right.
So I don't think that children are really for me.
There you go.
And I respect that, actually. And that's awesome because that's how I feel. It's like, you know, there's this everybody's sensationalizing like becoming a mom, and I get that, you know, you feel like that's my mission, but I respect that, you know what, that's not for me.
Exactly.
Because it's not for everybody.
Right, then it's better that you realize this.
Than have them and try to figure it out and make their lives miserable.
Exactly, exactly, you know.
Nope.
So that's good that you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. No. You know, I mean, some people are just not into kids, you know.
My mom keeps saying that I'm going to change my mind because she didn't get pregnant with me until she was almost 37. And so she says, oh, you know, just wait a few years, few more years, and it might kick in. And
it might. You never know. You know, I mean, but maybe it's not in line with your personality or your temperament, though, in which case your mom's wrong.
Yeah, no, she's wrong. Sorry, Mom, you're wrong.
Yeah, she made up her mind already. Don't waste your time, Mom. That's funny. But what's she going to do? She wants grandchildren, and you're the only daughter.
Get a dog.
I actually live with, like, a house full of animals. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, really?
We have 3 dogs and, oh, geez, like 6 or 7 cats.
Wow.
Well, okay, so the house, we kind of inherited these cats, and so they just roam the neighborhood, and then there was a bunch of kittens. And so two of my friends that I live with, they took them in and fostered them, and then we gave a few away. But my mom was actually asking the other day about this one kitten that we have, Jones. He broke his hip, and so poor little guy. He is restricted to cage and he can't run around or anything. But she's asking, "How's Jones?"
I
had a kid.
Yeah.
I think it balances out. You know, you don't compare kids to animals, but if your mom is eventually pressuring you or saying, hey, like, hey, here's Jones.
But definitely don't bow to the pressure because the bottom line is you're the one who's going to have to live with it. You know?
And it is not easy.
Right. Oh, I've done plenty of things that my parents would rather me not have.
Yeah. Well, tell her, you know, Mom, if you want a grandchild, adopt one, you know?
Adopt one for me, and you can just say that I'm the parent, but it's really yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe get one that's like 17, I'll so they're visit almost them, 18. Right. You know? Yeah. And my parents really need another dog. That's what they need.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, I wouldn't mind another baby at this point, but I'm a little too old for that.
Wait, so you have children, Sam?
I do. I have 2 grown children in their
20s.
Know that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind another baby.
No, not at all. I love kids. Are you kidding me? I miss when my kids were little.
The sleep deprivation and the...
It's okay. You know, I mean, yeah, you're right. Look, today I probably don't have half as much energy as I used to. But I love being around kids. You know, I love when they cling to you and you're like God to them till they grow up and then they don't give a shit about you.
That's true.
They don't even pick up the phone. You know?
I noticed like my 13-year-old really only talks to me when she wants something.
Yeah,
and
right?
I'm okay with that. That's where we
are. But hey, that's 13. Yeah. What about 24 or 25? Come on, man.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm telling you, the generation is becoming like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Like just now.
Yeah.
I mean, now.
And it's hard for them. Look, I mean, the younger people, it is hard for them. I don't know if it's harder. I mean, we had it hard in different ways when I was going to college or whatever. But I understand it's hard for kids to take off, to leave the nest and so forth. But at the same time, if you don't deal with the difficulties of life early on, you won't be able to, you know. And you'll end up going into depression and into anger and all that stuff because you don't have the tools to deal with the adversities.
Yeah. I didn't leave home till I was 25, actually.
Wow.
When I moved out to L.A., I had a very short stint in Auburn, New York, of all places, for 3 months. I worked at a theater company. But that was really because I didn't go away to college.
Okay.
And not, I think it wasn't just that I was still in Baltimore, but it was just I felt like I didn't have my independence. I just felt really confined. And so actually when I finally moved out, I didn't really have a plan when I moved out here.
Yeah.
I just thought, okay, well, I want to move to LA and let's just see what happens. And it was so invigorating to get out here and literally be on my own. I only knew, I think, two people at the time. And it was an amazing experience, and I've built this kind of family and life here. Right. And I think it is really important in growing up. Like, I know a lot of kids go off to college, and so they kind of have that experience in college, which I didn't.
Right.
And so it's just, it does. It kind of feels like if you don't give yourself that independence, you can feel very, like, claustrophobic and depressed.
Right.
And so I think it is very important.
So, Melina, are you originally from L.A.? Where are you from?
I am originally from Miami, Florida.
Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Miami,
so
Florida.
How'd you end up in L.A.?
Okay, so all my family's in Miami, Florida, and so I'm a Floridian by heart and Heartwood, I guess, by nature or whatever, by birth. And when I was 10, my dad, he's a CSX, railroad transportation engineer. He's a CSX engineer. So, you know, like you have the cargo trains.
Uh-huh.
That's what he does. And he was transferred to Birmingham, Alabama when I was 10. And I remember it was such a culture shock
coming from
Miami to Alabama.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. But they've lived there since I was 10. I'm 40 now, so it's 30 years. And I went to Tennessee State undergrad. So Nashville, Tennessee is about 3.5 hours outside of Birmingham. And that was great. And then when I graduated from Nashville, I met my husband when I was a senior in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 7 years older. He doesn't want me to say that. So edit But he was like, you know, I want to go get my MBA from University of Michigan. So we kind of migrated a lot. You know, after I graduated, I worked for news about a year. And then we moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I was like, look, dude, I'm not going to be following you all over town. I don't have a ring on my finger. He was like, okay, I'm glad, because we've been dating like a little over a year. So I'm like, we need to get, like, I can't do this. You know, because back in the day, in the 90s, that was, you really didn't do those type of things. Now you can, like, cohabitate,
right,
and do all
right.
those. And it's whatever, rain don't mean a thing, right? So we were in Michigan for 2 years. And then we moved to New Jersey. After he graduated, because he got a job at Johnson & Johnson. Then when he was at Johnson & Johnson, he was like, you know, I really want to go to L.A. because I want to be a screenwriter. Like,
nice.
Okay. We're doing a family thing.
From, right?
Yeah. And so he came here, and we lived bi-coastal for 8 months, Sam.
Wow.
So I said, go out there, do your thing. That's cute. Yeah. Bye. I'm going to stay here because this is real. That's not. And, you know, I had Naya and Grant, my two older kids at the time. Naya was 2, Grant was 1. And after 8 months, I said, okay, we got to make a decision. So I decided to put our things in storage, and we came out. And I've been here for 8 years now.
Wow.
Is he still screenwriting?
Yeah, he's still screenwriting.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he's,
so it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't just a...
Yeah, it wasn't. But, you know, I don't like that business, so... I don't like the hurry up and wait
right.
aspect of
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Right, you know, it's deadline. And then nothing gets made for like 5 years.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's Hollywood.
You have to have
yeah,
know, so.
I can't. So,
so you took
God
a more
him.
Practical, down to earth path.
So, yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, wow.
But I love LA.
Yeah.
When I first got here, because I came from the East Coast, oh my goodness, another culture shock. I was cold the entire time because I had always heard that LA was hot and sunny, but LA actually does have seasons.
Right.
They just run together.
Right.
So I had only sandals because remember our stuff was in storage.
Right.
And I moved out here in October.
I
only had shorts and sandals. So I just remember being cold and sick like the first 6 months. But now I'm a total LA girl. I'm not going anywhere.
There you go.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And
I love
the woman who's talking is Melina Jackson. She's joining us today as a guest. You have the show Family Planet 365. When can people listen to it? When is it online?
All right, so Family Planet 365 airs every Friday at 12 Pacific here on LA Talk Radio.
There you go.
Yeah, so we have a lot planned. I'm looking forward to all the guests and just really getting to the bottom of like how to live our best lives now.
That's awesome. So
yeah.
So is that how? So you focus on helping families,
yeah,
and things like that, right?
Love
now
course.
You sent me the press release here about Kid Power. Take Charge of Your Safety, yeah. My Preschool Fair. So is this something that's your baby, or how did you become involved with this?
Okay, so remember I talked about the nanny factory, the nanny agency that I've had now for 5 years. Well, the babies will come to us as newborns, and then they would get a little bit older, and the moms will say, hey, do you think that, you know, Sarah should go to preschool? And I'm like, yeah, I like them to go to preschool, maybe part-time, and then have a nanny part-time, because they, you know, they can interact with other kids, build the right. immune system up. And they're like, oh, okay, where? And I said, well, I don't know. So I thought, well, you know what, I should start a preschool fair. So I started in Santa Clarita, which is the Santa Clarita Preschool Fair. It's 5 years now. And it's a community-wide open house under one roof. So we get all the preschools together. They set up their booth, and they have, like, the, just interactive day with the families who are cool. interested in preschools.
Yeah.
And now we've launched to go. We've done the Santa Monica Preschool Fair, uh-huh. now the Conejo Valley Preschool Fair, and the San Fernando Valley Preschool Fair.
Oh,
so I have
awesome.
Four preschool fairs this year. And it's so fun, Sam, because again, it's about what can we do to educate and empower. It's not just a fun day. You know, you have kid expos all over the place. It's like, what can we do? We have these parents here. How can we help uplift and empower them, educate them? So this year's theme is touch in healthy relationships, how to protect your children from sexual predators. And Kid Power has partnered with us because they're providing a free 45-minute interactive workshop at the preschool fair for parents who want to learn more.
Wow. Definitely. People should definitely go. When is this going to be?
Well, we kick off. We launch our tour on Saturday, January 27th in Santa Clarita.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Valencia Town Center Mall on the patios of Charming Charlie. And then we have the San Fernando Valley Preschool Fair in February. And you can find other dates by going to bit.ly/mypreschoolfair.
Wow. You definitely, I mean, if you guys have young kids, this is definitely a good way to go because you get like a lot of the different places. Mm-hmm. You can interview the ones, the people that are actually going to watch your kids and see, is this something that I want to do? Are these people I can trust and so forth?
Exactly.
So it's not, yeah, because I mean, it's like having a little broker go with you around and show you different houses and stuff, you know?
All in one place.
Because
you don't have time to like go tour different preschools, you know?
And here you can compare them, you know, side by side and all
that
stuff.
That's right.
That's
no
very
pressure.
Cool. So this is your brainchild, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool. And so you live in Santa Clarita, right?
Yes.
That's where you live.
I love
so
it
it's,
there,
you know,
Sam.
Yeah, it's nice, right?
We used to live in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
So
Santa Clarita is nice.
Right? Yeah, I was in Van Nuys for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's all our starting point. Like, hello.
I actually like moved deeper and deeper into the valley. I started in Koreatown.
Oh, nice.
And then I was in Silver Lake for 2 years. And then I went to Van Nuys. And now I'm in Sylmar.
Nice. You'll be in Santa Clarita soon.
You're still on the edges of the valley. She hasn't had the courage to go into the valley yet. It's too family oriented for her.
Oh yeah, you know what? That's right. You should probably stay away.
So touching healthy relationships mm-hmm. serves as a workshop focus for parents at a local preschool fair. So, well, since we're touching on this topic, let's go back to the one I brought up about the doctor of the Olympic athletes that is being charged now with how many, girls as young as 13, they're like, how many? I mean, well, there's been like 144 statements being made.
Yeah.
That's how many statements have been made already.
And now,
I'm sorry.
Is he the one who was saying, like, I need to do certain things to you, so just lay here? Is that because I think I heard something about this story?
I don't know, but
the
thing is, they're saying that he admitted to putting his finger in the vagina of patients.
Yeah.
In cases going back to 98, including girls under the age of 13. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine.
So he's a regular doctor internist?
Yeah, he was an Olympics doctor for many years. And, he was a renowned gymnastics doctor. And
they would just believe him.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You have a young girl, right?
Mm. Yeah.
How much do you really have to trust that man to leave your girl with him? A lot, right?
Well, everyone thinks doctors.
Doctors. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's why this is so heinous. Because it's like you're leaving your baby with a wolf. you know, knowing that the wolf can kill, you know. And so you can't really blame the parents, because this is a doctor that was provided for the girls, and then I guess he was telling them this was part of the
process,
you know, the process and all that stuff, which, you know, a young girl doesn't know what the hell's going on, but I'm sure she's going to feel something's wrong.
And, you know, and that's one of the things I tell my children, and even with, like, learning from Kid Power, I said, always just follow your instinct, follow your gut, listen to it. If it doesn't feel right, it's not right.
Right.
And the thing about having your teenage daughter with the doctor, even now with my daughter, you know, I'm in the room. Because, and that's before I even knew about this story, but I just, I don't know, I've always, and I'm not, I've never been sexually molested or abused, thank God.
Thank goodness.
But I'm just I don't know, I just have this high, I'm always, it's always at the forefront. Like, I'm like, what's your motive? Why are you saying that to me? Or why are you doing it? And so I know, for me, I just don't leave my children, you know, I wouldn't allow them to be examined, especially by a male doctor. Like, personally, no offense, but I request a female gynecologist or anyone that's going to be, you know, doing anything with obstetrics.
Right.
So, because I feel like a woman knows a woman's body. That's just where I'm at in my head. So I don't understand how a lot of the parents will say, okay, well, that's fine. He could just go in the room and examine.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to think about, like, really, should you give that person that much trust?
Right. Okay, no, I'm but under the belief that you shouldn't trust anyone until they give you a reason to, versus just trusting someone blindly and waiting for them to fuck up.
Wow. But don't they require that a nurse now be in the room with the doctor now?
Yes,
or you can request.
With my GYN, and I have a female GYN, and still there's a nurse in there while the examination is going on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Even with a female doctor, they're still
taking
precautions. Yeah, it's like
you have a witness or something. You
exactly.
Know? Yeah, you know, I mean, people do horrendous things. And it's, you've got to have a way to protect the kids, but at the same time, you can't shelter them too much, right?
That's
Then
where
they can't
is that
deal
balance?
With anything,
no.
Right?
Yeah, it's
so that's why it's tricky to be a parent, and that's where you come in, right?
Yeah. Good for you. Yay. You took it on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's about being educated, and again, I'm really big on, like, not instilling fear. We don't come from a fear-based attitude or reaction, but it's just knowing that, you know, hey, let me just think this through for a minute, and what's the best action for this child, or what should I tell my teenage daughter or my teenage son? Because a lot of times, like, what I tell my kids, it's really not a sexual thing. It's about power.
Right.
You know, like, what can I get away with? You know, and that's why I tell my kids, like, you'll feel it. You feel like when you ever been around a person, Sam, you just know that they're just full of bull.
Yeah,
you just know it. Yeah. So always trust that. Like, really just, and again, that's like putting your phone down, really being in tune with your surroundings, because spirit will protect you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just really what it comes down to, because you don't know. A lot of parents don't know.
And everyone is so oblivious these days to what's going on around them, both children and parents, just because, with the internet and phones.
We have so many distractors.
Yeah, and everyone's just like, oh, what's going on here? What's going on there? And, like, you're not paying attention what might be right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I think that's usually these problems occur with people that the kids kind of know, you know, because they don't really walk up to strangers and stuff like that. But, you know, that's why, you know, today you have to be aware of even leaving kids with the relatives, you know,
unfortunately,
because this shit happens all the time,
especially in the home.
Right.
Because it's remember we talked about with Denlin last week, she was saying how a predator knows how to groom. They groom. Mm-hmm. So think about it. A stranger can't groom your child. It's got to be someone who they know and they trust, because they know how to groom them first. They don't just go into it. It's and even with this doctor, I'm sure he groomed them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He didn't
just
like automatically just go in, you know, just I guess fondle them. Yeah. Over time, like, just to see where their trust factor was with him.
Right.
And we have to keep that in mind. You know, it's not strangers. Don't talk to strangers. And that was the big thing for me. Like, oh, don't talk to them. But no, you have to really, like Denlin was saying, you know, if your child doesn't want to hug someone at the time, you don't make them give them a hug. Say, oh, you know, Sarah doesn't want to be touched right now. Uh-huh. Is it okay if maybe she gives you a high five, or maybe we could try later or whatever? But you just really have to respect the child's boundaries and let the child know that they can set boundaries.
Yep, consent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think, and I do that, Sam. Like, you just want to please, right, you know, and you just don't want to hurt anybody. But at the end of the day, you got to protect yourself, and you got to teach the child to protect themselves. Even if it's the aunt, the uncle, the cousin. Because I've already told my daughter, like, we have, when we go for family reunions, and, you know, we have older cousins that are my cousin, but they're old. I'm like, you know, you're not to be alone. And it's nothing on them, but this is just where we are.
Right.
Because it usually would happen in your home. It's not going to be somebody out in the street.
Right. Better be safe, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, that's usually the case, you know? I mean, these predators are people that we know, mm-hmm. that the victim knows, and that makes it even worse, you know? Because it's like if you break a child's trust, you know, you don't deserve to walk around in society, you know?
Because you just messed them up for life.
For life.
Yeah. That's the part that really gets me. You really, and I'm trying not to swear. I know that we could do that on 7 in the morning. But you just really fuck them up.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's so unfair.
Yeah.
So unfair. And here you are, you're a grown person or even a teenager, and you've lived half your life, but to prey on a smaller child and just not give them that opportunity to just thrive naturally.
Right.
You know, because what they say is you awaken love. You awaken these feelings that they didn't even know
right.
that they had. And it's confusing because the brain is not developed right now. It's in process of developing. Yeah. And they don't understand how to process that.
Yeah.
And I just think if anything, just think of that. Like, that's not fair to them.
Right.
It's just not. And yeah. So that it makes me, it upsets me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and that's the unfortunate thing, is many people know somebody who's been mm-hmm. assaulted or molested or, you know, and it's a very sad commentary, but I think it's always happened, maybe even less now. It's just that we talk about it more. But, you know, because I believe in the old days,
yeah.
it was normal.
Yeah.
People felt it was normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know
people
when I grew up.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's part of life.
Yeah, part of life. Like, you don't say anything.
Nope.
I mean, look at the rape culture in India and in Egypt and stuff where they don't respect women. And you have these gang rapes all the time, mm-hmm. you know. And it comes from a place where this is okay, you know. I mean, in Sri Lanka, they just reversed a decision that allowed women to drink alcohol. So they allowed them for 3 days. And then they reverse that. Okay, so what I'm saying is that you take away from people, and so, you know, the old ways were like, people are more accepting. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like the reality. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Think about it. If you grew up in a society where men grope you all the time and nobody says anything,
right.
you know, it's going to be acceptable, you know?
It's
and then
part
people
of the,
do that, yeah.
It's just the way they are.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that's so sickening.
You know, so that's what I'm saying, that I think, I mean, I know
that... We talk
that,
about it more now, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think is a good thing.
But it's
no,
nice.
It is, you know? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I would see kids being more than spanked by their parents. Mm-hmm. They were being beat up big time by their parents. Mm-hmm. Domestic violence, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Nobody
I mean, as
anything.
A kid, to me, it was like, wow, they have a bad thing. But you didn't look at it as like illegal crime shit, you know?
Yeah. Like my kids were like, oh, call the police, call them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
because now they know, like, you don't do that to me. You don't treat me that way.
Right.
Right.
So in that way, I think we've progressed quite a bit, you know, in protecting victims' rights and so forth. But we probably still have a long ways to go, you know?
Yeah.
When those places were still, the victims are being blamed and everything in this country,
mm-hmm.
you know? So,
I think it's important that one of the things we talked about was to listen to your child, you know? And a lot of times I focus on the preschool age, but anyone from, you know, six, well, as early as they can talk to teen years. Listen, if the child feels like or the teen feels like they have been abused, they should tell someone. Because a lot of times your body is not built to harbor that information. That's where depression comes in, because it's like feelings turned inward, right?
But there's probably so much shame, right? When a child doesn't even understand, they might feel, hey, I brought it
Do you think that maybe there should be classes in school or something like that? Or is that pushing it too far?
I think that's pushing it too far because, like you said, there's embarrassment. Like, would it be for everybody in the eighth grade class,
like, for example?
They don't have sexual education anymore, well, Ashley.
Are you serious?
There's no sex ed.
I was just
so,
about
like,
to
how
say,
are kids like, learning now, like, you know, how my body works? The parent has to tell them.
Ridiculous.
They take it away because it's offensive, and now, you know, you have a lot of sexual issues with trans and that sort of thing. So now it's like it's up to the parent to... Yeah. Educate the child. And that's one of the things another brainchild that I wanted to work on was a teen con. We have Comic Con, we have all these different conferences, but there's no conference for teens, like, to talk about sex, to talk about, and it's not through the church, because a lot of churches have that, you know, the getaway weekend for the teenagers, but it's non-religious. But, like, let's do sex education.
Yeah, it's so important.
A lot of kids don't even know about their bodies. Like, they know, like, what they see on YouTube, but they don't know, like, what the real engineering of it is about, right?
Right.
And so,
relationships.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, things like that. I think it's very important. And I would not leave that to the school. You know, I think the parents, yeah. I'll tell you why. Because I don't want the school to I don't know about values. I wouldn't be able to give my kids values. They would learn stuff at school too, but I don't want them to do things that I can do for my kids.
Right.
You know,
but a lot of parents are embarrassed though, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's really difficult because I definitely get both sides, even though I'm not a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why parents might want to be the ones explaining everything to their children. And then I also see the benefits of maybe like a non-biased person explaining things, because just because you went down a certain path sexually doesn't necessarily mean that child is going to go down the same path. They may have different interests, different whatever the case may be. So it's kind of like, okay, this is what to expect. And that may not always be the case, because what if they grow up bisexual? What if they grow up being lesbian or gay or whatever it is, like asexual, you know? And so, and what if the parent has no idea even how to talk to someone that might be asexual?
That's true.
Wow.
Right.
That's true. And a lot of them just ignore it. Like, they'll figure it out, you know? One of the things I know I do with my 12 and my 13-year-old, I'm just raw. I'm like, you know what? If you got questions, just come ask, because they're going to talk about it in school, and I want to be your source.
Yeah.
And I'll be real with you. Ask me any questions about me, like, because I love to give them stories about me in high school and in college, and it's just no holds barred, because I want them to know. And, you know, maybe you gotta censor in a way, because a lot of, like, again, the brain is still developing, so they can't really process it all. But I want to give them enough to know what they don't know, and know that they do know when they're having these conversations in school, so there won't be, like, wool pulled over their eyes.
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time. Alina, tell people how they can find you, or social media, whatever.
Yes.
Radio show.
Well, I'm here on Family Planet 365 at LA Talk Radio, and Family Planet 365 is on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And my personal Instagram is One Mom Boss.
There you go.
It's been fun.
Yeah,
it's been
awesome.
Real, Sam.
Well, thank you for joining us, Melina. That's
my pleasure.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Been great. Did you have fun?
Oh, I had a lot of fun. I hope I'm asked to come back.
Yeah, you see, I told you it'd be fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.